It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to the old days. Mike Vrabel, you know, Ohio State guy. Would you be comfortable with that?
Oh, yeah.
You really don't like Ohio State.
I don't.
And you've picked Texas. You're going head-to-head with Costos in the Texas-Ohio State, was it the Cotton Bowl?
I have no idea the name. I'm confused by all of it. I have to say...
You're down on the playoff?
It's been...
What?
Yeah.
What?
Not my favorite.
Are you kidding?
So just that game specifically, as I said... And you said, what? Really? Michigan? Huh? When Michigan had Ohio State, you said, you're going out on a limb there.
Yep. I didn't question you. I bet it.
You absolutely were questioning in the seat you're currently sitting in.
In the moment. I mean, yeah. It was a stunning pick.
Let me tell you.
You have been right on the money. You've been nails in college football this year.
Marcus Freeman is the best coach in college football right now.
Whoa.
He is Gerard Mayo.
You're praising
but with
Notre Dame people?
Oh, I hate Notre Dame, but I love that guy. He's just...
What a game for you.
Marcus Freeman.
Two teams you hate vehemently, Notre Dame, Penn State.
Yeah, that's
who do you root for?
Well, I'm rooting for Notre Dame. I think they might win it all. I hate Penn State.
Catholics over convicts.
Yeah, well, I'm going to stay to that. there was... Never mind. Yes, I would say the... For me, Marcus Freeman, what he's done replacing that total and complete D-bag in Brian Kelly has been awesome to see him succeed the way he has. I hate that quarterback Leonard. He seems like a punchable face, but, you know, whatever. The Texas-Ohio State game is very simple.
And it's in Arlington. That's why I know it's Cotton Bowl. Texas crowd. Crowd advantage.
Very similar in terms of talent. You flip a coin. Sarkisian is a much better coach than Ryan Day.
Yeah.
Ryan Day, gets tight as can be. He pees down his leg. They are
New Hampshire
going,
guy. Be careful.
Yeah, he coached at BC. All that, and he's sober. I love it. But by the way, what are the odds that Greg finishes January dry?
Hey, he's 3-for-3. Let's see if he gets through day 4.
Let's see. I kid. I think Texas wins because they are a looser team, and that Ohio State, if they lose that game, all of this is for naught. The first two wins.
I already put money line bet on that yesterday when I heard you say it.
Texas.
You have been on it this year. Costa said there's great value. To Courtney's dismay, I bet on a college football game on the app.
That was so shocking. Courtney's texted me countless times about college football bets in Massachusetts.
She's a bookie.
What in the world is happening? I really hope the Final Four is better than the first couple rounds because it's just like whoever put Indiana in is a total moron.
I don't know what your problem with Indiana is. That was
an awful game. Awful.
Yeah, just the fact that it was on, I was so excited
Ole Miss,
to watch it.
What do you think Ole Miss Notre Dame would have been like?
Okay, fine.
Much better.
Yeah, better.
Yeah.
But Indiana's building something.
What are they building? I mean, I went to Bloomington when I was looking at colleges. It hasn't changed in 50 years.
So that's Brad Stevens' country. Nothing wrong with IU territory.
I don't know. Would you rather live in Serbia or Indiana?
Nothing wrong with either. Let's go. You want to know what Pauly thinks about the coaching staff?
Oh, I can't wait. I think Pauly wants Brady to come back and play still.
He might come back. He's not going to be on TV. Hi, Pauly. Whoa, Pauly.
All right. James, by the way, got a walkie-talkies for Christmas. What a horrible idea.
Kind of sounded like that.
Oh, you're a Niner in there?
Yeah.
What did Maya get anything for the holiday? Any big?
She got a karaoke machine. That was what she wanted the most, with like multiple microphones for all her friends. They
blasted
out.
That's been a very in gift. People are into that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she got a lot.
Do you do any like Sammy Hagar on that?
Yeah, if pressed, I'll do some rock. I'll do some classic rock.
Can we get back to Jelani Tavai for a second? Because the reason we're so knee-deep in Vrabel and whatever else is that Ken Laird walked down these hallowed halls where I used to work with Damon Amendola years ago, bombed off my ass, and he walked right into the control room and he said, came back with a bang.
I don't know why you're so dismissive of this. I was supportive.
I'm not dismissive. I think it's perfectly you. And you said,
proud of you?
I think this is the nail in the coffin. And you didn't say it in a celebratory mode. It was simply a just statement of a read of what had just transpired.
I know, but I was emotional when I said that.
It's done.
I was caught up in the moment. I think Kraft, when he comes to his senses, he's just going to be like, I can't give the guy 1 year. I'm his thunder buddy. I for 5 years groomed him. He was my pick. I stick to my instincts.
Okay, but when you make a decision, like giving Jackson the Jackson 5.
That was not my decision. I know you think it's my decision. It's not.
I'm giving you a hard time. It's clear.
Wasn't bad, by the way.
It was great. It was awesome. The falling of the shower has me concerned. It's like I'm watching myself.
Plus, he didn't cut any of the Tavai interview.
Right. It's like
how was that possible?
It wasn't a bit. Literally was around the world. It's not like when I watch him, I see myself 9 years ago.
Don't say that.
It's true.
I saw you 9 years ago.
No, you didn't. Thankfully, you never met me. But the reality of what transpired yesterday was that Jelani Tavai saying what he said on the eve of this awful, anticlimactic final home game of the season was so representative of the organizational rot that has occurred in one calendar year with Gerard Mayo as the head coach.
Yeah, but can't you spin it as it's a sign he loves Mayo that much that he's defending him against fans who are ripping him and calling for Mayo's firing?
Have we heard from Robert Kraft to an actual reporter all year?
We never hear from Robert Kraft.
Well, you would if he was coming back. Why wouldn't you publicly support him?
I mean, I guess. Get it out
from
some sources. We've kind of heard that he's safe.
I mean,
safe.
He told Amazon Prime that he knew of him 5 years ago.
I do think he's waffling. I can't imagine how you could not consider.
You think he still hasn't
house.
Made a decision yet?
Yeah, I think he's mulling it over until he's got until tomorrow, and then he's got to make a call by Monday.
I hope he hasn't waiting for tomorrow, because tomorrow's irrelevant. What could possibly happen tomorrow?
You always make this is a philosophy in life. Don't make a big decision until you absolutely have to. Take it as long as possible. Sometimes things just
good.
Decide themselves.
You know what
for
they
you.
Should do? They should wait for every coach to be hired and then make a decision.
No, you had it right in the first hour of the program, earlier in the show. Go back and listen on the Odyssey app. You said, give Vrabel a contract and a deadline. If you're going to sign him, but you have to do it covertly is the problem, because you have to do, if you're going to fire Mayer, then you have to conduct a legitimate search. But on the down low, I don't do this in my life, but they have to get Vrabel to agree to terms behind the scenes and make it a sham.
Would you prefer, and I know this is, who knows, but would you rather have a young offensive mind, Ben Johnson you think is not possible, the Kubiak kid, I don't know, you name the up-and-coming coach of the day, right?
Bobby Slowick.
And you bring in Brian Flores as assistant head coach, defensive coordinator, give him that entire side of the ball. So,
good hire.
He's been, underrated. The Vikings are, if you want to talk about a team that has exceeded its talent, it's been the Kevin O'Connell-led Vikings with Brian Flores dominating on the defensive side of the ball. Also, sneaky Jeff Hafley, defensive coordinator for the Packers, hasn't been bad. Well, I'm serious. I wouldn't want him here. But
you ripped Hafley. First, you called him the best interview in Boston, Hafley. Then you ripped him to no end when he got fired.
Bill O'Brien's
now
the best
Bill O'Brien's the best interview in Boston.
But until he's gone. But
then he lost the bowl game.
That was a tough watch, that Nebraska game. Why do we
ugly
have bowl
game.
Games at stadiums in the Northeast?
I liked the Mayo game last night. They actually poured mayo on the head of the coach.
I did not watch a second of it. But I was knee-deep in the Houston Rockets.
Here's a little breaking news you might be interested in, per rap sheet. Who did you say was the second best coach in the AFC East over the last 20 years?
Second best coach in the AFC East over the last... Did I say Rex Ryan?
Sexy Rexy is interviewing with the Jets on Tuesday. Would Kraft think about Rex here?
No way.
Here?
No. There's a better shot that Bill Belichick hires Jordan to lead the cheerleading squad.
Okay, just throwing it out there. It would be interesting. I do like Rex on TV. I think he makes that show, that pregame show on ESPN. He is the sauce.
You know what I gave up in 2024? ESPN. And it really helped me immensely.
ESPN Radio bringing you the college football semis and finals right here on WEI.
Is Kevin Winter still on?
Kevin Winter's still on. Vellani's on there.
My first big moment in radio was I produced NFL Sunday on 890 ESPN Radio with I'm a Kevin Winter and Russ Francis.
He's had a good long career.
Yes.
Kudos to him.
Very nice guy.
978 texter. Vrabel will cost you $15 million. You still have to pay Mayo, and big money free agents would be necessary. Are the Crafts willing to do all three?
Here's what I would say. The only upside of this absolute tooth pull of a season is how bad the Crafts look. Because if there's anything billionaires hate, it's looking bad. And this, the way in which you had the Bill Belichick final death nail, however you say it, when he's mocking the roast of the Dynasty docuseries, laughing his ass off at you, the Crafts have to spend, they have to invest. They can't, I mean, it is unfathomable to me that you are sitting here as the laughing stock of the NFL. I never thought that would happen again, ever in my lifetime. And they're the worst team in the NFL.
But Costos is right. I mean, we are spoiled. We should have expected this. Maybe not this long.
What is he talking about? Why should you ever expect your team to be this bad?
Yeah, but that's an NFL thing. You do hit rock bottom.
Okay, when was the last time the Chiefs had the first pick in the draft?
Well, the Chiefs were rock bottom before Andy Reid got there.
No, they weren't. They top three pick in the draft.
They had a couple bad years before Alex Smith got there.
Well, I mean, before Mahomes was there, Alex Smith was winning playoff games. I mean,
he was fine.
Didn't they take Eric Fisher at like 2 overall?
Oh, good point, Zach. Well, Eric Fisher pick. There you go. Every team has had, what you don't want is the Browns, obviously, and the Bills.
When was the last time the Steelers had the top pick of the draft?
Steelers have just been mediocre. That's been Tomlin's hallmark. It's been a long time. They took Ben Roethlisberger 10th or 11th. That's probably their last bad year.
So Eric Fisher, they took him first overall. There you go. A decade ago, they got Travis Kelce in the third round of that.
Pretty good draft class.
207
texture. F. Vrabel, fired from Tennessee, got run out of the NFL, had to turn tail and run back to Ohio State. Last year he was a consultant for the Browns. How are they doing? So if they do hire Vrabel, I think it's a popular hire, but not universally so. Mostly because of the questions about, is he too defensive-minded? And maybe some, is he too like Bill, or is he a failure, has not done anything yet?
So here's why I would move on from Mayo. Let's say the Patriots, and I think there are some that make it clear to me every time I say they will spend, because they have to spend, that they have to reach a floor of spending. So there will be off-season spending by the Patriots no matter what. So if they do...
How much cap space do they have? I know you don't believe in the cap, but it's like $180 million or something, right?
Right, it's all funny money. So they spend like crazy this off-season. Isn't it amazing all the things we used to fight about? You've just capitulated.
I've taken the path of it's not worth it.
Right.
It's not fun for the audience.
Right.
And right. I've just
Bill
I
Belichick.
Left.
You had to publicly tweet an apology saying that you were wrong about Belichick.
I mean,
what a year!
You're deranged. Do you think Brady's a good broadcaster and he's going to be there 10 years?
No, I said he's done after this year.
Okay,
anyway, but if they spend like crazy this offseason, like they will because they have to, and you bring back Mayo and you change a coordinator or two, and Mayo is still not the guy, then you're now 2 years into Drake May. You've got this amount of talent. They still can't figure it out. As opposed to clean slate, bringing in the guys that will, you know, whoever's in charge, you're going to want them to be the ones picking the players so they know that they are tied in to the guys they're paying right now. If Mayo does it, who cares what he thinks? If they start out 2-7, he's fired anyway. So you want to get a clean slate. You bring in Mike Vrabel. You bring in whoever, the Will Robinson guy.
John Robinson.
John Robinson, you do that.
Unemployed currently, I think.
So I call him J-Rob.
J-Rob, fine.
And you bring that crew in, and you say, all right, you got 3 years. Let's do it.
Why don't you just bring Robinson in and keep Mayo?
Because Mayo has shown that he doesn't have the ability to lead this team.
I don't
team.
Think he's shown. I don't
oh,
think
absolutely.
You pointed out how bad this roster was to okay. defend Alex Van Pelt. Same applies to Mayo.
Coming up next, I will explain in a very simple way why a guy that I enjoy, a guy that called in and offered his condolences to the love of my life, Pudge, when he passed away.
That.
I will always be in his debt. I sadly think it is a job that he is not cut out for. And I will explain next.
All right, I want to hear that. I also would like at some point this hour to bask in the Jason Tatum postgame clip last night where he appreciated the fans.
Well, I love it.
Can we do that at some point?
I love it.
And
NBA
I have
talk.
My take on the Red Sox and Bregman still to get to.
I mean, do you feel like they've signed too many players?
Well, three. Chapman, Bueller, and Crochet.
Chapman, yeah. How many haven't groped their mom on social media?
He's a $10 million player. He's part of the solution, as Rob would say.
Okay.
But here's part of the solution.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Conclusions at Co. Well, Mayo, is it the last press conference we'll have from Mayo? Oh, I guess not. We'll have a post-game press conference Sunday. After the Greg Hill Morning Show team bonding Gillette experience, by the way. I know you're excited about that.
Can't wait.
And young James is headed to the booth?
Well, I got one ticket. I don't know where the other one. Greg said he has two.
Oh.
Do I need a ticket for James? He's two.
I think they'll probably, can't just smuggle in kids for free.
All right, well, I don't know.
Better get
said
that
you're all
Greg.
Set. Okay. I don't know who I have to. I mean, worst case, I'll just buy it online for $10.
Oh, boy. Okay. I'll give you my credential. I'll give James my credential.
He looks just like you, sadly.
But you think Mayo's done? You think he's out? You think Friday was probably the final win in the sale that's delivering him out of the harbor here?
Yeah, I think Jelani Tavai's performance on the Greg Hill Show was far more damning than anything that's been done on the field. What he released in terms of talking about yelling at fans. And it began when I asked why the team, well, here's what I asked him about the team's performance in relation to his relationship with Mayo.
I mean, the Chargers game was an abomination. I mean, 40-7 at home.
Yeah.
It was. It didn't look like from the outside that it was a bunch of players that were playing to prove why Jerod Mayo should be back next season as head coach of the Patriots.
I don't think that's the problem of guys not showing up. I think the guys showing up. I mean, we're talking about the past few games. You go back to the Bills when we played them. It was by far the best complimentary football that we've been playing since probably, Chicago? And I believe that the Bills are probably, number two seed in the AFC right now, and they're definitely one of the best teams in the league. So when we talked about what are the things that I wish I wanted back, as in the little things, it's those are part of the little things, whether it's, tackling or all security. Those are the little things that bite us in the butt and, put us in a big hole. So I think the guys show up. It's just a matter of us just making sure that we execute.
Yeah, I would say to cite a game you lost as reason to believe.
Moral victory.
And I was in Arizona. It was a week ago today. It was 11 a.m. local time out there, the start. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching this. And I'm like, why am I watching this? They have no desire. The stadium's empty. The players suck.
Yeah, but again, it goes back to, the roster is awful, not Mayo's fault. Not
okay.
Fair to Mayo, really, to cut him after 1 year.
Do you think that
it's a year of mistakes capped off by that one?
Do you
no
think
doubt.
Jelani Tavai says that with Bill Belichick as his head coach?
I can't believe you just said that. And you're crediting Bill, but no, of course not.
Does he say that with John Harbaugh? Say that with Mike Tomlin?
But to a previous caller's point, you hired one of the least experienced guys possible.
because of their ability, specifically because of their ability to get the most out of players, to relate. We were told, and I said, that Bill Belichick had totally lost control in terms of inspiring the next generation. Gerard Mayo was perceived by many as someone who, at the bare minimum, would stop things like that from happening.
No, not really. We thought he would be a player-friendly coach who would allow guys to speak their mind and therefore become, and to a point he has, to the point where Tavai's yelling at fans in his defense, he's become popular with his players.
Way in which the players have taken advantage of Gerard Mayo,
they have,
has been the number one reason why you cannot reward it and bring him back.
But can't you just say, look, we knew there would be growing pains?
Where do they get better this year? What's better today?
Nowhere, but except for Drake May, to your point, he's improved.
Okay, and what does Gerard Mayo have to do with that?
He pushed to get him on there. They wanted to sit him for longer. He got him in week six, at least.
You fire the people that didn't want to start him, and Elliott Wolf and Matt Groh.
Agreed on that.
You fire the head coach for not getting the team into the position they need to be, because the only GM worth anything that will come here will be one that wants to be able to pick his own staff. Like, how do you not see that?
Well, no, I don't think that's necessarily true.
So you think a GM with options will come here and say, I get to keep Gerard Mayo?
He'll say, he deserves a second year.
Tell me a GM that's done that. Can I have one that's gone to a new team that kept a coach that was the worst team in the NFL?
I mean, let's just go back to John Robinson. He's unemployed. I'm sure you could get him. I'm sure you could get a handful of guys.
Right. I said a GM with options. What GM would you bring in that has a resume that is worthy of this job that would retain Gerard Mayo on their own volition?
They have the first overall pick in the draft, and Drake May. If you're a GM, that is a good destination, regardless of the coach. And Kraft, I'm sure, would tell the GM, you can fire him next year. If he sucks this year, you fire him next year.
I'm telling you right now.
So he's a built-in fall guy.
No.
Yes, he is.
Why would you take a job where you're going to be the one to fire someone?
Because you got a fall guy. It's not your fault. No matter what you do, you're one, it's not your fault. It's Mayo's fault.
The second the new GM fires Mayo, it's all on him again.
One year delayed. Plus, you get the first pick in the draft, and
you
Drake
keep
May.
Saying that.
That's a
crappy draft to have the first pick in.
Well, you trade back.
Right, which means you won't get the same value in other years.
Lots of crap versus the best crap. Are you a Travis Hunter guy? You coming around on him?
No, thanks.
He's enticing.
If Van Pelt stays, certainly not.
Two-way player, yeah. Van Pelt doesn't know he plays offense. Let's go to Dan in the car on the Ken and Curtis Show. Hi, Dan.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Great. How are you?
Not bad. Chris, I can't believe that you think that they're going to spend this coming year if they didn't spend last year.
They have to,
Dan. With a new quarterback coming in, why wouldn't they have spent this past year knowing that he needed some weapons? It makes no sense to me that they're even going to spend.
Yes, I would say two reasons. One is in the CBA, which I don't need to get into the minutia of, but every 3 to 5 year period you have to spend to a certain point, and they have not been. So just to stay not reliant, but just to say
compliant
with the CBA, they have to spend. And I don't know why they haven't spent, Dan. I really don't. I thought Ken and I
mean, look at the year that Ridley had this year. He had a great year. And he had two schmucks for quarterbacks throwing to him. When you take a look at it, he really did.
Yeah,
Did you say you were at the Arizona game, Chris?
The Arizona game? No, I was in Arizona watching the game at 11 a.m. Yes, I was on vacation over Christmas, and I watched some of the game, and it was brutal.
So I was at the game, and let me tell you, I couldn't believe. First off, they win the toss and they defer, and then Sly is out on the field waiting to kick. So what does that show you? There's like absolutely no communication. He probably figured because of the fact that they won the toss, they were going to defer to the second half. And there he is out in the field waiting to kick off. I'm telling you, it is such a dysfunctional coaching staff that if the Crafts don't do something about it, most of the fans out there were Patriots fans. And you're going to start to see that dwindle if they don't get a better product on the field.
All right, thanks, Dan.
So, Dan, it's hard to have a conversation when people ask questions and then there's delay. So I don't know why the Crafts haven't spent. Every year around this time, for as long as Ken and I have been doing this show, we have agreed, rare agreement, but we have agreed saying they have to spend now.
Their excuse was they tried with Ridley. He didn't want to come here. and nobody else was worth it. Correct?
Yes. But it's a horrible.
That was their excuse.
I don't care what their excuse was. Ken and I have agreed every year at this time since we started working together that they have to spend.
This is the year.
I mean, we have. We've said it in some way or shape or form
they did
every
one year.
Year.
And they regret it ever since.
And that's what we had literally a year ago today. You had the Bill Belichick quote of all quotes, which you said was a nothing burger, when he cited that they were 27th in cash spending over the prior three seasons.
I didn't say it was a nothing burger. I thought it was him. He, it was a sign that he and Kraft were – it was a shot at Kraft, what
right.
it was.
And so the second Bill Belichick was let go, I said, of all time, they have to spend because now they can say we're spending. It was him, even if it wasn't.
All they've done all year is make Bill look good.
It's just been – I don't know.
Another great week for Bill. I think Belichick was thrilled this week just looking at the dysfunction. Not only that, how about Atlanta's dysfunction? Raheem Morris and his clock management, Falcons blow a chance to get in to the postseason. Man, does he look good.
Yeah, great.
Let's go to Chuck in City of Austin. Hello, Chuck.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing today?
Good. Good. How are you?
Good. Question. What do you expect? I think the issue is that Robert Kraft said to see with the field, and he said Gerard Mayo up the field, too. You mentioned Raheem Morrison, who's had two stints of coaching. I've seen a number of NFL coaches this year blow leads, not manage the clock well. You have a plethora of young coaches in the league who are learning. There's a lot of analytical guys that are learning how to be head coaches that aren't that good. But Gerard Mayo seems to not get a pass. He has no talent, all things you guys are talking about. Robert Kraft doesn't want to put any players in front of him. I don't think Bill Belichick could coach these guys any better. It's like you talked about. Yep. Bill had respect in the locker room, but he lost it. Now Gerard Mayo is a younger guy who can motivate young players. I coach. I've been coaching for almost 40 years. This generation of kids now, it's different. If you don't have the adult leadership, the veteran leadership, your locker room's screwed. And the players and the coaches have no say. So I think if anyone's to blame, it's Robert Kraft. And look at. I'll give you an example. Joe Mazzulla first year. Oh, they shoot too many threes. He's not in control of the team. His benefit was he had veteran leadership. He had two NBA All-Stars. They got Derek White, and dumb Milwaukee gave away Drew Holiday. If they don't get Derek White and don't get Drew Holiday, you're probably saying the same thing about Joe Mazzulla as you're saying about Gerard Mayo.
That's
just
true.
Wanted to throw that out.
That's true, Chuck. We were both wrong on Mazzulla. You got to admit that. Dead wrong.
Yeah, but I would say to compare NBA coaches to NFL coaches is apples and oranges. Really is. I mean, Mazzulla, one, he'll have the job as long as he wants, but, I mean, they've lost how many games this year? Nine? Mm-hmm. They've been the better team in all nine. So.
Went head-to-head with a defensive stalwart in Houston last night.
Yeah.
Offense over defense.
Yeah.
No Jalen.
I just, anyway.
And I want to play that Tatum cut later.
But the reason why, I said this before the break, the reason why Gerard Mayo is done as a head coach for the New England Patriots is because all the things he was good at before, we were told, he has failed the most at with the job, which is communicating to the audience and the fan base without having to perpetually walk things back.
He's a good moonwalker.
The locker room has become more dysfunctional under his tutelage.
They've become more outspoken.
Nope.
I don't know about dysfunctional.
Behavior off the field has been worse this year.
I mean, we had you had some stuff under Bill. You had some Chandler Jones issues.
Right. There's a big one that was Aaron Hernandez. But by and large, it has been an organization without accountability. And he had one of the weirder things he said was that I come on here to talk to the players because I know that's how I communicate. It just didn't even make sense in the moment.
I hear what you're saying, but hubris, frugality, these are qualities the Crafts right now have abundance of, and they're not going to pay Mayo to not coach.
I would love to hear it. 617.
It's second year of Mayo's coming next year. Now I'm convincing myself the other way.
I would love to hear it. 617-779-7937. People that are fans of this team that have stopped going to games, if they have season tickets. I mean, the stadium tomorrow is going to be empty. It's going to be a real field of 15.
Get to see the MVP.
He's not going to play.
He's starting. He's got to keep the consecutive start streak.
How many snaps do you think he takes under center tomorrow?
10.
Okay. Wow. I'm going to drive to Foxborough to go watch 10
snaps. Do you think
snaps.
He's the MVP, by the way?
It's tough. I thought it was. When he trucked the Chief into the end zone, I thought that was the MVP moment. Lamar Jackson and Burrow have been so good.
And Barkley.
Yeah, no, thanks.
It'd be cool to give it to a running back.
Why?
A 2,000-yard season.
Wow.
Last running back to win the MVP?
Would have been Sean Alexander.
Close. Year
wait,
after.
Year after Sean
Alexander. Back-to-back they won.
So Seahawks. Oh.
Chargers.
Oh, is it at the Chargers? Yeah. LaDainian Tomlinson?
Yep.
Wow.
What happened to like 20 years
Adrian
ago.
Peterson, by the way, he's like owes like $50 million to people.
Was it weird? He was calling himself the Purple Jesus for a while.
Yeah, and then he was.
Yeah, anyway, a whole era.
Interesting cat.
All right. 617-779-7937. Curtis thinks Mayo's gone. I am convincing myself throughout the show that Mayo's back for another year. You're helping me do so. Let us know what you think. We do have a little red. Do you want to get my Red Sox fix in now or you want to save it?
Let's save it. We got a bunch of people.
Do you have breaking news on Fenway Fest, which where you and I will be?
What is Fenway Fest?
That's where we're going to be next week for 3 hours.
Oh, great.
It's the new winter weekend.
Is Sam going to come by?
They have revealed the panels at MGM Music
Do we have
Hall.
Any guests or no? Am I going to be allowed in?
Yeah, you're going to be in. I mean, I hope we have guests. We're supposed to be in the concourse this year because it's happening at Fenway. Kind of off Can Jersey Street, autograph sessions.
I would love to get a GoPro so that people could see the faces they make when I walk around.
They want to bury you in our studio, but I'm not having it. I want us out amongst the people. We demand to be out amongst the people.
I mean, who doesn't?
Let's go to Will in Milton. Hello, Will.
Hey, fellas. Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to talk about Mayo. And for me, right, I think this effort to drive him out of town is unfair. I do. And I want to just look at a couple of things on that, right? Obviously, he hasn't handled the media well. He's walked some things back. He's, you know, done all of the things that you guys are saying, which is true. But if we look at what's on the field, he did not inherit a great football team. I know you heard that.
Yep.
But I think we overrate the fact that the defense he inherited was not a great defense. It was good, but even under Belichick, we saw them slipping. We saw them trending the wrong way. So the team itself, overall, offensively, there was nothing there. But the team itself was not good.
One second. You're making a lot of good points. The team defense last year, Christian Gonzalez and Judon were done after week four. Barmore was in and out. That defense was statistically much better than this defense this year that has had Christian Gonzalez for all but one game. That has been without Juwan Bentley and has
good.
Christian Barmore. I mean, to me...
Yeah, but they weren't that good. They weren't that good.
They were better.
And we knew it. They were better, but they weren't as good as people thought and the expectations that were had out there. They
what were
weren't.
They in they just defensive points good. Allowed in the game last year? They were top 10 in the NFL, I think.
No, we saw it, Curtis. I mean, we could do stats, but we also could do eye tests. This defense was not as good.
What has
as
Jerod Mayo done, Will, to get the job for next year?
What has he done? I think he deserves a second shot with a better team. With free agency and the opportunities that are out there, the draft picks that are coming in some of the areas where the Patriots are not that good. I think he deserves that.
All right, thank you for the call. I tend to agree. I mean, I was trying to find the defensive stats last year, but I'm working on that.
I'm finding it right now. All righty. Why is it so hard to get basic things online?
While you do that, let's go to Jimmy in Rutland. Let's go to Jimmy. Hi, Jimmy. All right, let's go to Brian. Whoa. Hey, Brian.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you?
I was calling about Curtis, was talking about, you know, being a season ticket holder and, you know, what you got. You know, I remember them calling me last year and saying, are you going to renew your tickets? And I said, you know, I didn't really want to renew them when they signed Mayo as a head coach because I just wanted an offensive I think our defense was fine, and I just wanted an offensive-minded coordinator to be a head coach.
Yeah.
And not what we got.
And I have last season they were ninth in points allowed, and this season right now they are – where are we here? They are 26th. They have allowed 401 points through 16 games. Last year, they allowed 322 points in 17 games. That is
so what if they
points.
Fire the coordinators? Like, Brian, what if they clean house except for Mayo? Everybody's gone except Mayo. Would you keep your season tickets?
I would not, no. I want someone who's going to throw the ball. And you know, like you said, you got to get some wide receivers, some offensive tackles, and just keep the defense as it is. And, of course, you'll be a better team when you keep the defense off the field as long as they're on the field, as many times as they're on the field. It's always three and out, it seems, with the Patriots.
All right, thank you, Brian. So there's one that won't. I have 15th in the league in last year in defensive points per game, but I might be looking at the wrong place. Anyway, they were middle. They were better.
I mean, maybe there are ways they break it down in total points versus points on special teams or whatever. But
either way, better last year. Definitely regressed. You could make a case to fire Covington. Sure, definitely.
Oh, my God.
B-flow.
So the roster will be better, and you think Gerard Mayo will be a better coach.
How
Why?
Were you your first year at 980? When you were
890.
Producing
890. Good Lord.
When you were producing Kevin Winter's show.
I don't even know. I don't remember. I was bombed.
Well, exactly. So year two, you were probably better. Okay. Or year 10, you got a second shot.
Was I making $5 million a year?
Is that what Mayo's making?
That's what I'm told.
Really? Not bad.
A lot of Mayo.
That's a lot of extra Mayo. All right, 617-779-7937. Kraft has got to be mulling this over. Tomorrow's the big day. He could go either way. He makes a decision based on the atmosphere at Gillette tomorrow. He's an emotional guy. It's still undecided. You can make the difference by calling Talk Radio right now.
Monday morning, during the Greg Hill show, we will get word that Gerard Mayo has been relieved of his duties.
Okay. Curtis is predicting that. He's been right on a lot of college stuff this year. Wrong on everything NFL, but right. Let's see how it pays.
And if Ken Laird survives the day, it'll be a big upset.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Mitch Ken and Curtis show next week at Fenway Park for Fenway Fest, which is the new winter weekend. Last year, you and I were at Springfield, and you had the shot heard around the world from Sam Kennedy with "You're a Liar." And
yeah, how's he doing?
Worst committed. They're fine. On the mend. Signed Walker Buehler, my man. And they will be unveiling Walker Buehler at
the panel.
How many
takes do you think it took for Sam Kennedy to take the phone call in the Silverman interview? Oh, it's Big Poppy. I need to take this on my own.
Well, we're going to have a full in-depth dive into the Red Sox Netflix 2024 docuseries at 10 a.m. at MGM Music Hall next week, next Saturday. The Clubhouse, A Year with the Red Sox, Netflix preview and panel. That's at 10. You and I go on the air right at that time. At 12:30... meet the pitching staff, and at 2:30, kids press conference. So it doesn't look like there will be an ownership Q&A this year. That will be the
fan interaction. Several questions.
For the kids press conference? Good. Yep. Good. And you and I hopefully will have an array of guests, as we do every year, over in the concourse, over on the Jersey Street side, and there'll be autograph sessions and a good time had by y'all. So that's coming up next week. Do you want my quick read before we get back to the calls? We have loaded Mayo calls.
When one guy hangs up, you get in his space.
You go where he was. Here's my read on the Bregman situation.
Who gives a crap?
Well, you always complain about Kennedy and not spending. I mean, it's a pretty significant offseason story here.
They haven't spent on a major guy from another team over $200 million. And that will still be the case because Bregman is not getting over $200 million.
So here's my fear. Here's my read on it. And I'm not sourced on this, but this is my read.
Are you hitting the brakes?
They extended themselves to trade for Crochet in prospects.
Don't get me started on the 100 top 100 Baseball America guys.
But Breslow, and I guess to a lesser extent probably directed by ownership, I think is very high.
Are you saying
Bloom-ish.
Breslow's not in charge of everything?
I'm saying he's probably
the 13th guy.
He's
to interview?
Been briefed a couple times.
Okay.
He is sticking to his price point, and he's not budging on these free agents, especially Bregman, who's going to be his 31 years old this year, and is going to he's asking for $200 million. They're not going near that.
Who has more credibility with their fan base, Sam Kennedy or Robert Kraft?
Kraft. Yeah. Kraft is a six-time champion and a good owner, largely.
Shot at Kennedy.
But he's not an owner.
I guess that's a bad thing.
He's
way
a president.
Turn a phrase, shot at Kennedy. I shouldn't.
No, don't say that.
That's kind of funny.
So here's where they are with Bregman. I think Cora wants him badly, obviously from their Houston days.
Right.
Wants him to spend.
Bang on that trash can.
Breslow's not getting the job done, and part of it is because I think ownership's saying we can't go beyond this number. And
wait, how? They had $700 million.
Well, because, again, they put a number. Breslow's a numbers guy. So
but you said they don't have the money. That's not the truth.
No, they have the money. I didn't say they didn't have the money.
You said they have a number they have to stick.
They have a number. Like, Breslow puts a number of what a guy's worth.
How does he create that algorithm?
Probably stats-based or whatever, you know, deep dive it is.
Right. War.
And there's a quote from Andrew Friedman. If you're always rational about every free agent, you will finish third on every free agent. And that's kind of what they're running into now with the Red Sox not overextending. And I am worried, first of all, they're afraid of Devers because he's afraid that he won't move off third. So they're afraid to piss him off by bringing in Bregman. And they already traded last year for a second baseman in the Chris Sale trade, and they signed Rafaela. So I think they're afraid to sign Bregman for a lot of reasons. They're afraid of Devers. They have money spent on other second basemen, and Breslow's not budging. And here's my fear, is that we have a repeat of Cora v. Bloom with Cora v. Breslow, a friction of coach and general manager.
Yeah,
aren't you worried about that?
It reminds me of the days of Theo versus Larry.
But it's a concern of mine. I mean, I hope to unveil some of that next week when we're over at Fenway Fest. I want to get to the bottom of this, talk to Alex, see if he's in a good place with Brez, if they're getting along, if they're on the same page. That's important with the new Patriots GM and coach, right? These are the things that keep me up at night.
They keep me up at night. I'll tell you that right
now.
Do
you think Bregman's going to sign here?
Yeah.
You do?
He's
for $200 million?
Oh, my God. How will they find the money?
Well, that would be that'd be stunning. If they paid him $200 million, that would be a sign that they're changed
or actually
are bending
engaging in what is the actual market for good players.
Well, that would be awesome. Back to the Pats and Mayo's future. Let's go to Jim in Connecticut. Hi, Jim.
Good morning, fellas. Anyone who's in business, and I've run large businesses before, understands that if you have incompetence within your organization that's been demonstrated over a period of time, that you have to make wholesale changes for that business to be successful. If you continue to perpetuate it and think it's going to get better, then you're absolutely insane. I think they have to clean house from Wolf through Mayo, all the coordinators, and bring in a GM coach tandem that's going to be effective. Because if you perpetuate this again for another year and just tinker around the edges with changes, we could be in a disastrous situation with the Patriots for years to come, and you could jeopardize whether Drake May would even want to stay here or want to shoot his way out of town.
All right, clean house vote from Jim. Yep. Let's go to Bob in the car. Hi, Bob. Bob, you with us?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
How are you?
Yo.
Good. You guys have the best show on radio. I'm not kidding.
Thank you.
I love the two of you together. I wish you were the morning show without Greg and everybody else.
Yeah, they're the worst.
I just had a great Red Sox day, Bob, and Curtis didn't listen. He was like reading his phone the entire time.
I know. Yeah,
I would rather be kicked in the nuts than break down the Red Sox payroll.
What? I had season tickets since before the stadium opened. I gave them up this year based upon Kraft not spending. I can't see devoting my 8 to 12 hours on a Sunday showing up at Foxborough when the product isn't worth paying for. Or the $50 for parking. Oh, no, you can get free parking across the street. I forgot. But, no, I'm with it. Like Chris said, call in if you gave up on the team. I didn't give up on the team. I gave up on the owner.
Yeah.
We need a new head coach. We need a new GM. I'd be all in favor of Vrabel coming back with the right GM in place.
Let's say they clean house and do all those things, Bob, would you get your season tickets back?
I get enough free tickets that I don't need to pay for them anymore.
Okay, well, the owners would hope that would change and the tickets would go.
The one thing the NFL has done where it hurts, I want to say hurts their bottom line because it's a cash cow, but it is so great to watch the NFL on TV. And to get you from where most of the fan base lives to Gillette Stadium, to get people out of their house in general post-pandemic has been difficult. And like Sunday, James and I are stopping by road race to honor Price, talked about yesterday on the Greg Hill Show, and then we're going to Gillette Stadium, get there around 12:30. We'll leave at halftime, and that way we get home and we can watch the final 30, 40 minutes, red zone. It's awesome.
Even at halftime. I mean, you haven't seen the spread in the suite. I mean, yeah. You're not going to. James is not leaving at halftime.
Well, I heard Jelani Tavai providing spam.
Are you coaching James up on question asking? Do I need to, like, give him a couple pointers? Because if he's going to be at the kids' press conference, I want him to be representative of EEI.
Very simple. He's going to sit there. He's got no underwear today. We're potty training.
Oh, jeez.
And he's going to say, why? And then just keep asking why.
Go Sox.
Go Sox.
It's the Kenny Curtis Show here on EEI.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.